Welcome to another Burr News interview. I'm Don Burgess. Today I have the pleasure of being with opposition leader Jean Atherton. Welcome.
Thank you for coming.
Well, it's a big day for the party. You had a couple of announcements of new senators. You selected Victoria Cunningham and Robin Swan to replace Justin and Andrew. So why those two ladies to fill the Senate?
Because those two ladies have been involved in the party. Robin is the caucus chair and Victoria is the caucus secretary. They have been involved in the party from being FBA, so I believe that they represent the opportunity to diversify and have a talented team.
What do you think they bring to the table?
Well, as I say, they bring to the table the fact that, one, they are committed to the party, two, they have been involved in understanding the legislation, understanding why we do things, and I think that they will bring the ability to be able to tackle things in the Senate that are important to Bermuda.
Yeah, now Justin sort of got an elevated role from deputy chair to chair. Was that just a natural progression, or do you like how he's performing so far?
Well, Justin's choice to be the chairman is his choice. Mm-hmm. So it's not a natural elevation, it's a decision.
Okay, so what do you think he brings?
Well, I think he brings what he's been bringing all along, the passion to get involved in politics. The passion to understand the political process and what we can do as a party to make a difference in Bermuda. And I think that the same way he was on the doorstep, getting out there talking about politics, he will do that at the national level.
Now, all the three people that we just mentioned were all part of the FBA. How important do you think that role is, and how do you think it's working? Obviously, to some degree, you're filling roles with people who've come up through the ranks.
Well, coming up through the ranks is obviously something that, when the FBA was formed, that was what it was designed to do, get young people into the organization so that they can start to come up the ranks and take the positions above them. But that's not the only way. We obviously encourage older people that have been involved and come back to get involved in the party, because the party, my intent is to diversify the party. Young people, women, diversification.
Right. Now, I guess you talk about diversification. A lot of people still want to say, like, the OBA attracts way too many whites and not enough blacks. How would you respond to that?
I would say that when your party is in transition, you can't take one point in time and say, how many people can you measure? All I say to you is that young people are coming. We are the party of diversity. We are the party that has the largest number of people that are of all backgrounds, of all, you know, the diversity's there.
What role will Andrew Simons have going forward?
There are lots of opportunities in the party, and I guess it's going to be up to Andrew to decide what he thinks is going to be his course of action.
Now, the earlier, a couple months ago, we saw the OBA lose the Warwick seat that Jeff Barron held. You're now at 25-11. In the last election, Jeff's seat was actually the fifth closest. Is there any concern about losing those other four seats that were under closer margins?
Well, I think every constituency is subject to review. And I say subject to review because it's affected by the boundaries, it's affected by the diversity of the individuals that are in those constituencies. We are just making sure that the people that are going to stand will be able to get out on the doorstep and represent and connect. And so for now, I believe that we've got people that will be able to get out there and bring them back.
Scott Pierman won, held on to Grant Gibbons' seat. What is Scott's role in the party going forward? What do you see, do you see him taking more of a leadership role as he gets his feet wet?
Well, every one of our MPs has to take on a full portfolio just due to the nature of the number of people that we have. So that, I mean, I've obviously started to have conversations with Scott as to what he's interested in, and I know that Scott is one of those persons that will put a shoulder to the wheel. So we'll be working with him as to what he wants to do.
Might we see going forward people from the old guard, like Grant did, stepping aside before the next general election so some younger people can, you know, in the safer seats that the OBA has, coming in and taking those roles and getting blooded a little bit before the election?
When I was elected as party leader, one of the things I said was that it was very important for us to reconnect. It was very important for us to develop our young people through FBA. It was very important for us to have some training so that the people that are in some of what I call the safer seats get to take people under their wing and allow them to develop so that we can then transition into having more people involved. So that's the type of vision that I'm thinking about, and it's something that we have to work through.
Overall, what's the vision of the party going forward?
Oh, the vision of the party is the party of opportunity. You know, we're the party that believes that we would present the opportunity to people in Bermuda to be able to do things that are important to them, develop safe communities, making sure that they have the opportunity to grow themselves so that they can make a contribution. And that's what we'll be working on. Safe communities, opportunities.
What do you think the lessons from the last 6 years when the OBA was in power and then the people spoke and overwhelmingly for the POP, what lessons do you take from that going forward and incorporating that into your vision?
Well, I think the lessons that I take is the fact that we were a young party. And as young parties, you now have to re-examine what happened, and you have to sort of talk about what are you going to do in terms of what I call lessons learned. And I believe that we are understanding that we have to make sure that we keep our connections with the community. We have to understand that it's important for us to recognize that focusing on what's important at the grassroots level will help us do things at the national level, and making sure that with respect to our candidates, that they have a range of people, and make sure that you develop the party structure as well. It's not just the national, it's the party structure.
So are you saying, like during the OBA administration from before, that they were disconnected from the grassroots level?
I'm not saying that they were disconnected from the grassroots level, but I'm saying that we turned the country around. We made sure that we took care of the deficit. We made sure that we started to deal with all of those national issues. Obviously, there were some grassroots issues that perhaps we could have developed more, and all I'm saying is that lessons learned are that we are going to do them both.
No, one of the things government seems to be pushing pretty hard for right now is fintech. What's the OBA's position on that?
I think the OBA's position on that is that's something to be looked at and developed. But in the meantime, there's really more important issues like the rising cost of health. There's issues in terms of education. And the bottom line for us with respect to fintech is to talk about how many jobs are going to be developed for people here in Bermuda in terms of what I call at all levels. Because unless you create jobs for Bermudians, then it's not going to really be an industry that you can say that can become a third pillar.
So do you see any potential in there, or do you have any questions or concerns?
Oh, I see potential, but I'm also mindful of the fact that there are other countries, islands out there trying to also develop fintech as an industry, and they obviously have to deal with regulations. But for me, I want to see what we're doing in terms of the developing of the fintech, not only at the jobs, not only at the high level, but also at the lower level. They've talked about compliance type individuals, but it's not just about them. Mm-hmm. It's really about if you're going to make it such that it impacts on Bermudians, you have to have people can say that they can get into it and be able to get at it at every level possible.
Right. The Premier introduced legislation for banking so other banks can set up in here. Mm-hmm. Do you have any concerns about that?
Well, first of all, I have to declare my interest in that I'm a director of a bank.
Okay.
And so as I've indicated into the House, it's not so much about the fact that they are going to come up with a restricted license for the bank, but really to see what's going to happen with that. Because in his paper on it, he indicated that these restricted bankers, would they be able to offer a full range of services to their clients? But also in that same statement, he indicated that there was sort of a suggestion that maybe other services should be offered to the Bermuda public. That brings into concern, what does that mean to the other banks in terms of the jobs that they have here, the Bermudans that are employed? So I think that one has to see more details about how this is going to be set out to understand impact on Bermudians and what it's going to mean in terms of growth. And we always know that there's always been this concern about the correspondent bankers. You know, how do you get around that?
Okay. You mentioned health a little bit while as one of the concerns. What do you think are the major issues facing the health industry right now?
The rising cost of health, which is related to the fact that we have an aging population in Bermuda, the fact that we have not enough people paying attention to their health. But if you turn it over the other side, you also have the government. I mean, I was Minister of Health for 3 or 4 years, and one of the things that I paid special attention to was maintaining the cost of the standard health premiums, actually bringing them down. So now to see the government turning around and putting them back up, it just blew my mind away, because I said, come on, and we really know that health is the largest budget item other than debt. And we also know that it impacts people right in their pocket. And so I keep watching and I keep thinking, you know, we were working on the relative value units. We were trying to make sure that the cost of health went down. So that's the first thing that bothers me. The second thing, obviously, we're looking at education, because education is another important item.
Right. So how do we keep the health cost down?
Well, we keep the cost of health down by looking at the utilization. We look at what is being paid to the people who render the services, and making sure that the cost of the services bear the relationship to the values that have been set up in terms of what type of service, what type of, if you will, how much it costs to produce this service. And I say relative value units because that's how you measure one service as compared to another service. And then making sure that you look at the utilization, because if people are using more of the services than they should, it has two knock-on effects. One, it means the cost of the service goes up. Two, it means that it doesn't always mean that utilization is actually a positive health benefit, because sometimes you and I know that radiation and other things also impact on people negatively.
The government's introducing the sugar tax, which is going to start in October. What's the OBA's position on that?
Our position is this. Until you see what the government is going to do in terms of how it's going to use it, there's a worry that it might be just another revenue generator, because you have this problem where I know there's talk that it's supposed to go and we're supposed to use it to educate people on sugar, and they have brought the cost down with respect to some foods. But I worry that unless you deal with all of the things where people eat, not just what I call the sugar, or not just the cookies, because we know that barbecue chicken has, you know, the sauce has sugar in it and whatever. So you have to look at all of this in terms of what are you doing to make people understand what impacts them in terms of making them obese, making them diabetic, and then really start to go back and do it. And it's also been recognized that some of this is related to self-esteem. That, you know, if you take it away, prevent them from eating candies, but they decide to eat pasta and all sorts of other stuff, that turns into sugar. Or if they go out and they eat something else, then you must deal with what impacts on people to make them become obese and then make them unhealthy. And it's not just obesity, it's also blood pressure, it's also cholesterol. All of those things are items that impact health in Bermuda.
Now, well, one of the questions I put to the premier a couple weeks ago when we were sitting down doing the same thing was some food items are going to get a 0% duty, and one of those items are eggs. So in this case, Dunkley's Dairy brings in eggs from overseas, and they're already about $1 a carton cheaper than the Windy Bank, which is a Bermuda product, but putting a 0% duty on it is actually going to even make the eggs imported even cheaper. And, you know, what sort of concession do you think should be offered to the local person who's having to compete with even now a product that's even cheaper being brought in?
Well, I know that there was the suggestion that we should look at things that are being manufactured in Bermuda to see whether there could be a manufacturer's exemption. And I guess that would have to be looked at in from the point of view of how much of exemption do you get by the fact that you manufacture, because I guess one could stretch it and say the Windy Bank farm, you know, that's a manufacturing process. So And then you have to also look at other things that could be done to try and make the cost of production cheaper. But the bottom line is, I think it's important to look at all of the things that that impact on people eating, not just what I, as I say, not just the candy and whatever else, because I saw an indication that, you know, I didn't think the chocolate bars yet were going to be subject to some sort of taxation.
Just the white chocolate.
Not but I could make a comment, but I won't. But what I'm trying to indicate is that to do any of these things, you have to look at everything that's in there. And so I'm hoping that this legislation that just came through is going to have some more collaboration, some more review, because the bottom line is, unless you look at all those things, let's just say the white chocolate versus the regular chocolate, unless you look at some other items, you run the risk, and the other risk that I haven't seen people look at, of people transferring. People, you know, I know there was a suggestion, well, if you make the cost go up, it's going to be more expensive for people to buy your two chocolates, etc. And therefore, if you used to buy four chocolates and now you can only buy two, well, that's right. People will cut into that, but they'll go and they'll see four something else, which also gives them the sugar that they want, and they'll buy that. So we really have to relate some of these things to a behavior that you're going to try and change. That's the bottom line, trying to change people's behavior. And the second line is making them understand what influences their health, what makes them get overweight, what makes them be unhealthy. Because unless they understand that, and making them understand how to read labels.
Now, you've mentioned education twice.
Right.
So I know the government is looking at going back and getting rid of the middle school system and just having secondary schools. What's the OBA's position on that?
Well, I think that, I mean, although we've heard that that's the position, I think we really want to see what type of investigation has been done to come up with that plan. I know there's a 2020, I think it's called a 2022 plan. I think I've got it correct.
Vision.
2022 maybe. Vision. And so we need to understand how that's supposed to actually come into effect. What is it supposed to do? Because, you know, there are so many things that are still happening within the school system. You know, we have, you know, teachers being concerned about, you know, having to spend money out of their pockets, concerned about what's happening in their schools. So I would like to see how the discussion progresses, because until you do that, you don't know whether an idea which you thought was great to have in a platform actually, when the rubber meets the road, actually comes down to something that's really going to be beneficial. Because there's lots of moving parts with respect to different types of education for people, size of schools, all of those items.
Right. Size of schools is an important one, because ever since 2010, people have been talking about closing some of the smaller schools and consolidating. Mm-hmm. What's your position on that?
Well, I think you'd have to look at it. The reason I say look at it, because there's also been talk about different types of schooling. You know, not everybody learns it the same way. And so our position, which is what, you know, we've been saying all along, we felt that there should be the same way you have a tourism authority, we think that it should be an education authority. You should take education away from the ministers, get people in there that have the background, the experience, and let them have a look at this, so that regardless of which government changes, which minister, there is somebody that's focused all the way and says, all right, this is what we're working on, this is where we are, and keeps Bermuda public informed and makes the changes when things happen in Bermuda, whether it be changes in our population, whether it be changes in the types of industries that we have to cater to.
Wouldn't it help to have some stability at the Department of Education? If you wanted to run through the number of ministers and commissioners of education they've had over the last 10 years, it'd be in double figures.
Well, that's another reason why there should be an education authority, because then you don't have to worry about the changes of ministers, and that's the other concern that we have in terms of education, because there has not been a selection of who is going to be the education commissioner. There has not been a selection in terms of the commissioners acting, and So every time you have changes in ministers and changes of the highest levels of a person who's directing these particular very important institutions or ministries, then you have to worry about, do things get lost? Do people go back to plan A because they want to go back? So those are actually concerning statistics.
Race seems to permeate all throughout discussions of Bermuda as to what the problems may be or may not be. How does the OBA going about to help heal the racial divide that some people in our community feel?
Well, as I said from the beginning, I mean, our party is very diverse. So that from our perspective, we continue to deal with each other in terms of the mutual respect that we believe that our backgrounds, our ethnicity brings to the table. I think that the more that we can try to do to make sure that we don't set poor examples in terms of how we deal with each other, then I think that will go a long way. But Bermuda, it's a Bermuda issue, and we will continue to try and be the church that invites everybody to come in, and then when we're in there to talk about what do we have in common. And I keep saying every time I'm anywhere that we have so much in common that if we concentrated on what we have in common, we would actually start to be able to give ourselves a little leeway for when we deal with things where we differ.
Yeah. Do you feel like there's any need of sort of recognition that, you know, we've had injustices in the past and that these need some healing before we can move forward?
I think that's the type of a personal issue where everybody has to look at it and sort of say, you can never not recognize something that has been done in the past. And you know why I say that? Because you never want it to happen again. Mm-hmm. You never want it to happen again. But whether you're able to go back and change something, you can't go back and rewrite history, but you can make sure that the future history that's coming down, that's not the history that anybody sees. And I think that at this point in time, that's what we want to do for our children. We want to make sure that we learn from the lessons.
Also news today, besides the big news from the OBA, was the talk about the travel or lack of transparency and getting those reports in. What's your position on that?
Well, you know what? I think it's disappointing because having the travel website was something that we put in as the OBA, as a government. And I know that the premier would make sure from the perspective of getting us onto making sure that it's done. And the part that makes me chuckle when I look at it said when we first put it in, the opposition, now the government, pulled us up in the very beginning because there was a little delay in getting it done. But after that, our information was up there because it allowed people to see what was happening. So it did two things. One, you had the transparency, and two, then you could be assured of what your money was being spent on, and it kept you in the know of what your government was doing on your behalf. So disappointed, definitely disappointed.
Yeah, when I was reading the report today, they were talking about it's like more of an administrative thing and it should be done, but how long does really for that to take to get filled in on the form?
Well, you know what? All I can say is somebody's been ticking all the boxes about everything else that has been accomplished. So someone missed ticking that box and saying, we should have gotten on this right away. And I think that it's very important and disappointed.
Now, using a cricket analogy, I see you're wearing red. Are you for Somerset?
Yes.
Yes, okay. I saw the OBA members stepped in to help with the wall at Somerset Cricket Club. Sort of hit the POP for a 6 on that one, especially with Colonel Birch. Why do you think that was important to get done as an individual effort, not as maybe like an OBA team effort?
Well, you know why it was important? Because we believe cup match is important, and therefore to think that something like that, which is a sporting event that everybody is involved in, to get it politicized, that was disappointing. That was something where I thought, I can't believe this, which is why I think especially us, people like that are Somerset supporters, etc., wanted to get right in there and say, we can't have this happen so that an event that's important to us doesn't go ahead. And nobody wants to see sport in any way politicized. That was just unfortunate.
We mentioned Grant Gibbons a little earlier. What did Grant mean to the party? I know he was part of the old guard, but what did he mean to the party in his timing and stepping down? Last month,
Well, in terms of what he meant to the party, I mean, Grant has obviously been around a long time, but Grant was one of those individuals. I mean, he had a range of ministries, so he came there, and he loved education, but obviously he was a businessman, and so Grant was able to do lots of things. And I think by being part of the political process, he brought all of his energy and effort to doing everything well. And we have to acknowledge the fact that America's Cup, which was such a good event for Bermuda, that was something that not only that he organized it and made sure that he stayed on top of it and Bermuda benefited from it, but it opened so much to Bermudians from the point of view. I look at the Endeavor program. I look at the number of people that came to Bermuda. The Tourism Authority numbers are saying that they're up. But on top of that, we actually went and bid on the triathlon series because we demonstrated that Bermuda could do these things. So Grant meant that his legacy wasn't just from a political perspective. His legacy also turned into something that was a Bermuda perspective. So when he stepped down, I'm saddened because he'd been around a long time. But also it was an opportunity because it meant that there was an opportunity to get another person into the party. And so, and over time, that's what we're going to do. We're going to get more young people into the party. And in the meantime, we're going to continue to mentor those people who put themselves up to be candidates or to actually go out into branches, continuing to do that.
On the night of that election, you mentioned that you're a viable opposition. What does that mean?
Oh, a viable opposition, I think, means that keeping the government held to account, making sure that you understand the issues that are important to the people, and making sure that you keep in contact with them. And those are all the things that we're doing.
The premier has mentioned a couple of times about independence, but not within this next term, because he said that if they were going to go independent, be part of the party platform. Where does the OBA stand on that?
For us right now, we have too many things to think about. Mm. Important things that are important to Bermuda, and that's what we're focusing on.
So even in the future, do you think Bermuda should be independent?
We've always said that we have our main thing is more about interdependence, that that we're an island, that we have lots of benefits that we have from being an island, and therefore we think that we have to keep leveraging all of the benefits by being interdependent, with whether it be the US, whether it be UK, the European Union, all of those things, and we're going to keep leveraging that so that we get the best of every world.
You've been opposition leader for about a year now. What do you think's been the major accomplishment since you've been?
Well, not a year.
Not quite a year.
I've only had 6 months. Okay. But anyway, yeah. For me, it's really about continuing to get people involved, continue to diversify. And as I say, I think that having Robin and Victoria enables us to let young people start to take their positions in the political process, and I intend to do more of that because I do believe that there are a range of things that people can do, not just in the Senate or in the House. We have other things that we will be doing within the party, other things that we will be doing in the community. So my job is to make sure that I transition this party so that it becomes a strong opposition, a viable opposition, and we hold the government to account. And that's what I'm doing.
Same-sex marriage, Trevor Noah mentioned us last week on The Daily Show, just sort of mocking our back and forth with the judiciary and the government. What do you think we could have done that's better than the sort of fiasco that's happened with same-sex marriage?
Well, I mean, we've always taken the position that, we shouldn't be taking rights away from people, and so I think it's just, just unfortunate.
Right. What's your position personally on same-sex marriage?
Oh, I have lots of people that are friends of mine that even a friend that has been married, and I've congratulated her, but I as it relates to marriage between a man and a woman and same-sex marriage, I respect that we want everybody to have rights. And therefore, I want everybody to have the rights that are appropriate to them.
Now, under the OBA, casino legislation was introduced, and it seems like it's just taken forever to get going. What do you think's the hold back on getting this moving forward?
Well, that's a good question, because we've been thinking about that in terms of asking the premier, you know, what's the hold up? Because, you know, we put it in, there was legislation that was supposed to come. We know that obviously gaming regulations are an issue, and we haven't seen the appointment of the new gaming commissioner, and, you know, there was the big fanfare about the replacement, etc. I would hazard a guess, but I'm not going to, in terms of, I would think that there's always going to be the issue about the banking. And I don't know whether you saw, I did an article just the day before, Tuesday?
Yes.
Maybe yesterday. And I did an article, we were talking about corresponding bank. We were talking about bankers, and we were talking about the new bank that was coming in, the restricted bank. And I tongue-in-cheek asked the question of, does that mean that this bank is going to be the bank for the casinos? Because it causes one to wonder as to whether, if you get the new bank coming in, whether that will enable the casino money to be banked.
And so for both fintech and the casinos at the same time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, so these are the type of things that inquiring minds want to know, that the people of Bermuda need to understand, because it's all related to, you know, making sure that we do the right thing with respect to developing industries, we do the right thing with respect to maintaining our reputation, and we do the right thing with respect to growing the jobs, but the jobs that are going to be good for Bermudians.
I thank you for your time. I just have one final question for you today. Who do you support the World Cup?
I'm going for England.
So is this torturous because the interview is going on while the game's being played?
Well, you know what? But I'm also one of those people that say what's going to happen is going to happen. And hopefully by the time it's finished, we will get to see the second half and England will not be behind.
Well, thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Okay. I've appreciated the interview.
Okay. I'm Don Burgess, and we were with the opposition leader, Gene Atherton, for Burn News Live. And we thank you for tuning in today or watching the replay, and hope you have a beautiful afternoon and week.